Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. All of verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then looking in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have no fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All of 1 John chapter 1. Lord, thank you for the power in your word. Thank you for the wisdom in your word. Thank you for the grace in your word. Thank you, Father, for the salvation in your word, the healing grace in your word, and so, so much more. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is the answer to everything, every matter, every concern, every issue. Thank you for your saving, healing, and empowering word. More and more, help us to grow in our understanding of the importance of us walking in the forgiveness that you provide for us so freely and so graciously, and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for entrusting us with your image to carry. Father, I ask that you would help us to carry your image well. And Father, I ask that you would forgive us of all of our shortcomings. Guide us, Lord, as Jesus now can live through us who believe in him. Thank you so much that Jesus can empower us and he can live through us and that we can carry his name through the Holy Spirit and through his blood for covering our sins, Father. And Father, I just ask that more and more the church would look more and more like you. Thank you so much, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are honored to have with us once again Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation, a wonderful ministry that's doing great things to stand for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion. Brother Alan, how are you today?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us on this program. And I'm so thankful to be with intercessors across America who want to pray. And I thank you for letting me be on the program with you, Pastor Joseph.
Yes, sir. Always a privilege to have you on. And I want to ask if you'll take a few minutes. Well, I tell you, before we start, if you would pray, and then I'm going to let you introduce yourself. But I want you to start off by praying for believers to really have ears to hear whatever the Lord wants to say to them in them, because there's so much work to be done as it relates to the need in our culture to continue to stand for life and to help to end the tragedy of abortion. And yet there are so many, it seems, standing on the sidelines. Would you pray for listeners to have ears to hear and for them to receive the marching orders that God gives them, that he wants them to receive through the broadcast today?
Amen, Lord. Amen. We come before your throne confident that we can receive grace and mercy because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Father, I thank you that 3 years ago, you had the Supreme Court reverse Roe v. Wade. There is no constitutional right to kill a child, and they acknowledge that. And just as Pastor Joseph read the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, and abortion is murder. Now, Lord, even as I say that, we're going to talk about Abortion Recovery Awareness Month. Abortion is murder, but it's not the unforgivable sin. So help us to offer the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and abortion recovery healing during this upcoming month of April. And Lord, we lift up the Supreme Court of the United States. You command us to pray for those in authority. And sometimes we pray for the president. He's in the news a lot. We pray for our legislatures. But we forget to pray for the Supreme Court. So today, we're going to talk about one of their cases that they're going to have next week that deals with abortion. And we're going to pray for the court, Lord. Thank you that in America, we can believe freely and we can act on our religion. We have the free exercise of religion. So as we talk today, speak to your people, Lord, about what we are to do. How do we exercise our religious freedom? How do we share the gospel? How do we stand for life? Lord, in our sphere of influence, wherever you put us, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that mission from you, and we're to be witnesses. You said just before you ascended, wait for power from on high, wait for the Holy Spirit to fill you, but then you'll go forth and be my witnesses in all the earth. So, Lord, as we are empowered by your Holy Spirit, let us be your witnesses today, tomorrow, every day of our lives, Lord, and that we also rest on the Sabbath as you encourage us to do. You have times of refreshing for us too and times of rest. Thank you, Jesus, for this program. Bless this program. Bless AFA. Bless everyone who hears it, wherever they are, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate that. Would you take time now specifically? My guess is many of our listeners know the name the Justice Foundation, but there may be many as well who are not familiar with the great work that you and the Justice Foundation are doing. So if you'll further introduce yourself and the ministry and mission behind the Justice Foundation.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Alan Parker. I am the president of the Justice Foundation. And most importantly, I'm a servant of the living God. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. I gave my life to him as an adult after I'd become a lawyer, and I've given everything to him since then, as much as I'm able. And when I stumble, I ask forgiveness, and he's faithful and just to forgive me because of the blood of Jesus. But as the Justice Foundation, we work on two great issues of the day, primarily the pro-life issue and the school choice issue, so that children's school education dollars that are there for the children's benefit, not the teacher's benefit, that the parents and the teacher and the students' money would go to the school of the parents' choice, including Christian schools, if that's where they wanted them to go. And by God's grace, the Supreme Court in the last 20 years has had an amazing turnaround and now supports school choice as the free exercise of religion. It's not an establishment. The other thing we do that we're going to talk about in more detail today is Right to Life. I had the great honor of representing Norma McCorvey, who was the Roe of Roe v. Wade, and Sandra Cano, who was the Doe of Doe v. Bolton. Those two cases, Roe and Doe, they were the ones that the Supreme Court used to bring abortion as a supposed right for almost 50 years. From 1973 to 49, the court was saying there's a right to life. But millions of people were praying for the end of abortion because it's murder. It hurts women. It hurts men. And every state has a safe haven law today. No woman has to parent a child if she doesn't want to. But it was always wrong to kill a child. And as a result, we work on, I now represent thousands of women hurt by abortion. We have a website at the Justice Foundation called Operation Outcry, where women can give their stories about abortion pain and sorrow to courts and legislatures, like the Supreme Court that's going to hear a case next week that we're going to talk about today. And all of that's available on justicefoundation.org, thejusticefoundation.org, and you can get help and resources. And we do continue to collect those testimonies, and we continue to refer to abortion recovery healing programs.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing more about that. And so if people are wanting to get in touch with you or learn more about the work and mission of the Justice Foundation, what is that website?
TheJusticeFoundation.org, or Google Justice Foundation and Alan Parker if you remember my name, but it's The Justice Foundation.
Okay, thank you then. And so April is being called Abortion Recovery Month, and some of our listeners may be familiar with that term, but there may be some who may be hearing that for the very first time. Would you explain to our listeners what Abortion Recovery Month is about and why it's important for our culture and the church?
Well, it's one of the most common elective surgeries in America. Some estimates are that as high as one out of four women by the time they're 45 will have an abortion. And about three out of every seven women, even in the church, have had abortions. This actually was proven to me myself when in the year 2000, the Lord called us to represent Norma and Sandra, Roe and Doe, in their legal efforts to reverse those two cases. I went to my Sunday school class and I said, guys, I feel God's called me to do this. And of 21 people in the class, three women gave me their testimonies.
And I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
Lift up your eyes to see. nation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing. That he is a light shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is the light, he is a light for all the world to see.
The music of Brian and Katie Torwalt. He is the light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, if you'll pick up where you left off, you were sharing about a powerful testimony of just that happened in your Sunday school.
Yes, when God called me to represent Norma and Sandra to try to reverse the two cases that brought abortion to America, I told my Sunday school class, and I said, would y'all pray for me? And at the end of it, three women in my class of 20 came up and said privately to me, they said, we'll give you our testimonies. Abortion devastated us. And that I often hear from pastors that they don't have any church women who've had abortions. And yet every time, everywhere I've spoken, women in the church come up to me afterwards and say, I've had an abortion. I'll give you my story. It devastated me. So the pro-life movement in about 2018 began to designate April as Abortion Recovery Awareness Month.
Well, Alan, I want to ask you real quickly about one matter. I want to ask you about something briefly. You mentioned that pastors generally say none of their members have had abortions. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
So would it be accurate to say then there really probably is we're really dealing with a lot of probably naive pastors about this particular issue. Would that be correct to say?
Yes, but well, in one sense, I don't know naive. They don't know because the women don't tell them. People are ashamed to say, oh, Pastor, I've had abortion in my past. It's just not something casually that people want to admit. Pastor's wives has had abortions. They don't want to talk about that. So it's almost more secrecy, but I felt the same way. I told God when he told me to collect women's testimony, he said, Lord, I don't even know any women who had abortions. And yet when I went right there to my Sunday school class, three women I knew very well in my own church called the Community Bible Church had abortion. So it's there, but pastors don't know it. That's the problem.
And you know, Alan, that's actually a huge issue in our culture to consider, because as I've the statistic you mentioned, I've heard as well that one out of every three or four women have had abortion. So that being the case, that basically means every congregation in this nation is directly touched by abortion. Yet sadly, because people deal with a lot of shame related to this issue, a lot of people are in hiding. So that's helpful for us as the church to be mindful of as we address this issue then. So
that's right. And everywhere I've spoken and where the women have been allowed to give their testimonies, which is kind of what we're asking pastors to do in April, we have a tape of women and men, because every time the women begin to speak and are allowed to speak about how abortion hurt them, but God healed them. That's our theme. Abortion hurts, God heals. Then the men be coming forward. And they said, oh my God, I didn't even realize what I did. I paid for an abortion. Or a man might have said, I forced a woman to have it. Or I pressured her to have an abortion. I just thought it was the answer. Instead, I might have caused her decades of grief and I killed my own son. What have I done? And some men say, I tried to stop the abortion, but I couldn't do anything about it. So I grieve for the son that I would have taken care of. So it's a deep problem among men and women in the church. That's why so many national leaders have come together to support it. Governors have declared it. And we haven't seen it happen yet, but we're asking President Trump to declare it next month as
Abortion Recovery Awareness Month, too. Many state leaders have done it already, and the pro-life movement has done it since 2018.
Well, Alan, I have in front of me the letter that you sent, the Dear Pastor letter. Can I take time now to read it?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Again, the letter from the Justice Foundation, the Dear Pastor letter says, "Dear Pastor, please join the Justice Foundation and other national ministries in promoting April as National Abortion Recovery Awareness Month. During a Sunday in April, we're inviting all Bible-believing churches in America to join in repentance for the national sin of abortion and offer the forgiveness, hope, and healing available through Jesus Christ. We will provide you a list of resources grounded in Jesus Christ for healing for the women and men hurt by abortion. Our national theme during the month will be Abortion Hurts, God Heals. You'll be joining many churches and ministries across America." And then there's a space that says, "Click here to read the list of supporters." The Justice Foundation's ministry, Operation Outcry, mobilizes women and men who've experienced the pain of abortion to share their testimonies and their journey of hope and healing through Jesus Christ. We've been partnering with churches for years and have testimonies and resources that can help you address this issue in your church." And again, a space indicates, "Here is a short video with women and men testimonies that you may share with your congregation. Many pastors are not aware that numerous people in their congregation have had or have been involved with abortions. In fact, statistics indicate that one out of every three people sitting in the church pews have experienced abortion in some way, but have kept it secret due to guilt and shame. To hear from pastors who've shared about abortions in their churches," and then once again, there's a link, a place for a link for a person to click on to watch. "You may have an abortion recovery program available in your church. If so, this could be a great opportunity to encourage your congregation. You could even have someone share their live testimony. Here is a suggestion draft order of service that can be adapted by each church to fit its particular needs, manner of worship, and repentance. Also, we strongly suggest you play the short video of the women and men's testimonies included above in church on Sunday. How do we overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony," Revelation 12:11. "We're calling every church in America to participate because we believe this will produce much fruit. If you wish to participate on a Sunday in April, please let us know by registering here," and there's a space with the information about doing that, "so we may add you to a list of national endorsers for April as Abortion Recovery Awareness Month. If the month April does not work for your calendar this year, There are many opportunities throughout the year, including Mother's Day, Father's Day, and Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Here's a list of national referral resources that can help you find a Christ-centered abortion recovery program in your local area that can provide recovery services. If you have questions or you'd like information, please email us at info@txjf.org or call 210-614-7157. Advancing Life, Liberty, and Justice in Him, Alan E. Parker, President, the Justice Foundation." That's a very informative letter, Alan. Any things you want to share further about the letter and what its purpose is?
Yes. You may not be a pastor listening right now, but hopefully you have a pastor. You're going to church somewhere, and you can take this letter to him. And we make it easy for the pastor. There's a short video, about 12, 13 minutes, and it has women and men's testimonies. It's multi-ethnic, so it appeals to everybody. And it shows a variety of ways that abortion hurts people. But it's also a fixed amount of time. The pastor can choose one or all of them if he wants to do that. So he's confident about how he can fit it into the regular service. And that would be any one of the four Sundays in Easter. I mean, in April, that's a good thing. One of the Sundays is Easter. He might not want to do it that weekend, but there's our four Sundays in April, and any one of them would be good, and they'd be part of this national effort, which has been endorsed by lots of national leaders. Alveda King, Avida King Ministries. You have endorsed it, Pastor Parker, and American Family Radio is helping us cover it. Abby Johnson, who was in the movie Unplanned, and she now has a ministry of former employees of the abortion industry who've come out of the business like hers. Anglicans for Life, Baptists for Life, where the Senator Jason Raypert is a National Association of Christian Lawmakers, Smart Women's Health, one of the members of the Trump Faith Advisory Board. Pastor Romero Pino is with us. And we've got Silent No More Awareness, Catholic Leaders. Susan B. Anthony is with us. Catherine Davis of the Restoration Project. And Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Many of you know him. Kevin Jessup, he co-founded The Return with Rabbi Kahn. And Lewis Hogan of United Cry. And Jim Garlow of Well-Versed. So many, many, many national leaders. You can show the list to your pastor and say, hey, everybody's doing this. Why can't we do it? Or would you like to do it, Pastor? So be respectful of your pastor, but you can show him this letter, contact the Justice Foundation, and just ask him it, and he can find it. And we would be very happy to send a letter to him if y'all let us know.
Okay. And so again, if a listener wants to get a copy of the letter to share, to give a copy or to email, either to put in the hand of their pastor or to email to the pastor, again, where do they go to obtain the letter?
Contact us at the Justice Foundation. And on the Justice Foundation, we have all three of our websites, the Moral Outcry Petition to reverse or to make abortion illegal everywhere, the Operation Outcry, which is women testifying, and our Center Against Forced Abortion. That's all under the Justice Foundation. So contact us at the Justice Foundation and ask for the pastor's letter about abortion recovery, and
okay,
we'll get it to you.
Okay. And what, name that website again?
The Justice Foundation. Spell out T-H-E, or Google the Justice Foundation and Alan Parker, and it'll come up.
All right. Okay, then. All right, and so the letter, of course, is a tool to help inform people about what Abortion Recovery Month is all about, as well as a tool to pass on to give to the each listener's pastor as well, correct?
Yes, and I might say this. If you're a woman who's had an abortion, go to our page, Operation Outcry, if you'd like to give us your testimony, and we can then take it in writing and protect your identity by you tell us whether you use your full name only, first name, or initials only, and we will let the legislatures and like the Supreme Court know about how painful and terrible abortion is. But if you're just still struggling with your abortion, there are healing resources, the same ones we're giving to the pastor. But if you need them right now, they're on our website also under Operation Outcry.
Okay.
.org.
All right. And would you take time now to pray for the church, that the church would just really get involved with this important movement and this important effort as well?
Yes. Father, this is part of repentance and revival for millions of people who have had abortions and need to confess their sin and receive forgiveness and to give their life to you as their Savior and Lord, that they might have eternal life, even though they've taken the life of their own child. And I was just reading some of the ones they feel like murderers. But Lord, you will forgive even abortion. And we thank you, Lord. It is terrible for men or women, grandparents or parents who took their daughter to have an abortion or whatever it is, however they've been involved in abortion, all need to repent. And we as a nation right now, as a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States and as an American citizen, I repent for our nation being involved in the shedding of innocent blood. How can you bless a nation that kills its own children? And yet we're turning away from that. We're turning back to you. This is part of revival in America. We pray for a revival, and we pray for all the forces of life in the federal government, state governments, in the judiciary to be strengthened, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for your church and thank you for the body of Christ at work in the world. Father, more and more stir us as a church to take it upon ourselves to learn more about both what your word clearly tells us about the life issue, but also help us to educate ourselves about the surrounding issues that are at work in our culture. Help us to learn more about the fact that most abortions are chemical in our culture. Help us to become informed about that. Help us as the church to make it a priority to learn about what abortion pill recovery is all about and the fact that any believer can get involved with helping to save the life of a baby as they're able to just share the hotline and other things that we can do. Help us to never be willing to sit on the sidelines, but help us to know that there's so much any and all of us can do. I pray that every single listener will prayerfully consider getting the letter and passing it on to their pastor so that they can participate in Abortion Recovery Awareness Month as well. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back. Covenant Church with I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, you were wanting to share with our listeners about the Supreme Court, the South Carolina Supreme Court case that's about to come up. Would you share with our listeners about that?
Yes. In that last section, I mentioned one of our projects is called Operation Outcry, Silent No More. And we have it on our website as Operation Outcry. And that's women and men giving their testimonies to us about how abortion hurt them. And then we take those written testimonies and give them to courts and legislatures that are considering banning or restricting abortion in some way. And we are representing 138 of those women in a case that's going to be heard before the United States Supreme Court next week on Wednesday, April 2nd at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And these are 138 women specifically who had abortions at Planned Parenthood facilities. Planned Parenthood is the largest provider of abortions in America, and it disproportionately kills African-American children, who are only 10% of the population, but represent 30% of the abortions in America. And so these 138 women, we represent them as their lawyer, and they filed a brief in a case called Planned Parenthood v. South Carolina through the Commissioner of Education, Medina. So it's Planned Parenthood v. Medina. And what happened in 2018, the governor of South Carolina said, we're supposed to decide who's a qualified Medicaid provider under the Medicaid statute. And we don't think that an organization that kills children is really a very good medical provider. So we're not going to list them as a Medicaid provider, and we won't give them state money, state and federal money that comes through Medicaid, which gives low-income people health care. Medicaid is a fine program. It's available in all states, and you get to pick among the qualified providers. So even when the governor said, we're not going to give money to Planned Parenthood, there were still hundreds of well-qualified providers in South Carolina where women could get good health care, like even family planning or STD testing or breast cancer screening. Planned Parenthood says they do those things, though they don't do very much compared to their abortion work. And there were lots of other health care clinics and stuff in South Carolina where you could get the good things. But they said, we're not going to give any abortion money. We're not going to fund you at all, because if we give you some money, you could spend it on abortions. Well, that case is now before the Supreme Court of the United States. And the question is, okay, if you're not on the list, can you sue? And could some woman who would use those services sue? And that's gone all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the technical legal question, but I'll explain it, is, well, if your provider is not on the list, can you sue them as an individual to get them on the list? And the issue is, well, did Congress say that you could do that or not? It's just, there's a lot of ways that different federal programs are doing, and Congress has to unambiguously create a right for an individual to go to federal court and sue to get their provider on the list. And we don't think that that has been done. The Congress didn't do that. There's no reason to make a special rule out of this case, particularly when the benefit of millions of dollars of funding would go to Planned Parenthood. And the court will be saying it has to be unambiguously clear that Congress wants anybody to be able to sue in order for this case to go forward. And we think they should not do so. And it's kind of a legal question. In this case, the result would be getting millions of dollars for Planned Parenthood. And the women we represented through Operation Outcry, they don't think Planned Parenthood is a qualified medical provider. They should never be on a list. They hurt women badly. And I'm going to read, with your permission, I'm going to read a statement from Darlene. This is actually from one of our briefs in another case, but it shows what goes on, and it also shows why abortion pill reversal is important. So here's Darlene. As soon as the abortion began, I began to feel sick to my stomach. As it continued, I knew without a doubt that I was killing a child, that it was not a mere blob of tissue, as they had said to me. At this point, I wanted to stop it, but I believed it was too late and that the damage was done. For years, I had to carry the guilt of killing my own child. I later carried four children, and with each child for 9 months, I was consumed with guilt over the murder of my first child. Make no mistake, abortion is murder. Even after 30 years, the pain still lingers. So this one is something that Planned Parenthood does, and they don't want people even to know that today, if you get an abortion pill, which is the most common way of having an abortion, it's reversible. They want everyone to believe that every woman has their mind firmly made up, but more than half the women will tell you they're conflicted. They go back and forth. They know in their heart it's a child, but maybe they're having a hard life. Planned Parenthood doesn't tell them about pregnancy resource centers that will help them keep the child. Planned Parenthood doesn't tell them about the safe haven law in every state where a woman can drop her baby off at a hospital or fire station within a certain days after birth and at no cost, unlike abortion. With no abortion trauma, they can surrender their baby and go on with their life if they can't take care of one. But they don't even tell them about the abortion pill reversal, which I just was in a meeting and they said already about 6,000 babies have been saved by women calling a pregnancy center or calling the abortion pill reversal network and just taking a simple hormone called progesterone, which is given to women to avoid miscarriages already. It's a safe, it's part of what the mother needs to adequately protect the baby instead of taking the abortion pill, which is a chemical designed to starve the baby to death. And then the second ones make the woman go through labor to push out a dead baby. I know this is kind of a horrible thing to think is going on in our country. It's why we need to pray for the Supreme Court that they will not allow this lawsuit to go forward and fund Planned Parenthood.
So specifically, how would you ask listeners to pray for this South Carolina Supreme Court case?
Well, may I just lead us into prayer for the court? Because I'm going to pray for the reversal of the decision below and for the court to say if the statute is not unambiguously clear that people have a right to do this, so they should wait for Congress to make a ruling on it. They should not protect South Carolina's Planned Parenthood when it's not clear that's what Congress wanted. So, Father, I just ask you for the Supreme Court to have strength and wisdom to do the right thing. Father, I believe it's not unambiguous that there's a right to this. Circuit courts have split. The courts have gone up and down. So it's not clear, and Congress could be clear, but really Congress should not fund abortion. There should be no taxpayer funding of abortion. And I thank you for the revival that's going on at the Supreme Court, both spiritually and legally. They're finding the ancient path. They are restoring us to what we are. We started out as a Judeo-Christian nation with religious liberty. You can worship God the way you want, but you're not allowed to kill children in America. That's murder. And that's not even really a religious thing. It's just you shouldn't kill children. You shouldn't kill any innocent person without due process of law. And innocent people should not be killed. So we thank you, Lord. We pray for the Supreme Court to make the right decision. And we ask for them to do it on all the cases that they are having right now. They're writing and deciding from now till June. Their session goes to the end of June. So every day, Lord, we pray for the righteousness to prevail and evil to be cut out of America. We pray for the salvation of every human, even those that work at Planned Parenthood, like Norma McCorvey, my client did, Roe. She worked in a clinic, but she found salvation and came to Jesus Christ. So we pray for the salvation of every human, the salvation of every member of the court that doesn't know you. But we pray for an end to wickedness and evil. And as the Bible says, for bloodthirsty men and their plans to be thwarted, Lord. Bring life, 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 and healing to America. And we pray, Lord, that the court will eventually find the right to life that's in the Constitution and apply it even to life in the womb in an appropriate case. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan, again for praying and just for just the many insights you've shared, both about this particular case as well as the whole reality of April being Abortion Recovery Awareness, Abortion Healing. To give me the title again of that. The
Abortion Recovery Awareness Month.
Awareness Month, that's
everybody
right.
Everybody
right.
should be aware of it. And everybody can just Google Abortion Recovery Program and find one in their neighborhood if they don't want to go to our website, or we have it there on Operation Outcry, particularly resources for you. But you can just Google abortion recovery and find one. There are many, many. God has raised up a whole generation, particularly of wounded healers, women who had abortions. They didn't get much respect from the church, definitely not from the psychiatric profession, who said, don't feel bad about it. Just you did the right thing. You had to do it. And which is a terrible counseling technique. And they basically found the word of the Bible through Forgiven and Set Free programs and Rachel's Vineyard and other programs. But the women have kind of had to do it, and men have had to develop their own healing programs. But now the church is stepping up to help also.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Alan, again, for being with us and sharing as well. And again, we're encouraging every single listener to go to thejusticefoundation.org to learn more about Abortion Recovery Awareness Month. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. If you want to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please do email us so that we can get those resource materials to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Alan, thank you so much again for being with us. Would you share that website for the Justice Foundation one more time, please?
www.thejusticefoundation.org. Thank you for having me on today.
Amen. And to every listener, please pray much for Attorney Alan Parker and the Justice Foundation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.